Blog Talk Radio.
Free. They're free. Do them as much as you want. Welcome, people. Welcome to fall, for crying out loud. When did that
happen? Holy moly.
But welcome to She's Raising the Bar on Blog Talk Radio. We went... Okay. If you choose.
They're very happy today.
You must. Don't let us stop you. But welcome back, people. We were away for summer hiatus. We had a few shows that were on demand and went into rerun, and people just enjoyed them as we got our fall schedule ready.
And all these letters saying, when are you coming back?
I know.
When are you coming back?
It's really cute. It's really cute when that happens. And but we are back. We come back like a bad penny. That's what we do. And we're happy. We're happy you're all back. And we're happy to start the next season and going into fall. Hopefully everybody had a wonderful summer. And you know what we've been saying? It just goes so quickly. And the funny thing is our guest who's joining us today is a friend of the show, and we love him. And he is a motivational a motivational speaker, but he is, and he's been a fitness celebrity for a number of years, Fitness Made Simple. And you've seen his face on TV, and he does. I mean, if you're on social media, and who isn't?
A huge inspiration.
He is a huge inspiration. And a hell of a nice guy. But my thought was John Bastow, who was joining us today, was on with us in April.
Wow,
right?
Really?
I'm going to check, but I was looking over, and I think he was on with us. It was just starting, the nicer weather was just starting to come in. So how many months ago was that? Like four months?
April, May, June, July, August. Yeah. 5 months already.
Right.
Damn.
And it seems like yesterday. So that's
yesterday or last year. It really was a long time ago.
Somebody was saying to me, asking me the other day, well, what are your plans for New Year's? And I was thinking, come on. No. Elite, follow me. My first reaction was, yours exactly. Come on. We have a while to go. No, we don't.
Can we just have Halloween first?
I'm just saying. This is how quickly...
The stores are filled with Halloween stuff already.
Well, that's my favorite Halloween.
Right. Mine too, but
and
still.
But you know what? Look at where's my manners? My mother would slap my face for this.
I'll do it for you.
Thank you. How was your summer, Lee?
It was good. It was very good. It went very quickly, but... I didn't even feel like it was summer yet.
I know. We had a few sweltering days. But
that's not even the point of the weather. You're busy working and doing your thing. You can't even enjoy the weather. But
summer's a longer.
But I told you after July 4th.
And it's true.
Phew, it's gone.
But you know what's funny? I think when you're a kid, you have this whole big open space
of summer.
Because
you have nothing
to
do.
But
you don't work.
Even if you work, you think that you're missing something, so you want to you're constantly waiting for something to happen, mm-hmm. and that's what slows things down. But when you're an adult and you know there's no time for anything really.
No,
it just
that's
goes
why
quickly.
It goes so fast.
It just goes quickly
because you're too busy.
Yeah. But let me give proper intros for any. There might be a few people.
Oh, I'm ready.
Might be a few people who are just tuning in for
sure.
First time. Cast of characters. It's a small cast of characters. It's a two-person play. We love it.
All you need.
All you really need. And to my left always sits the lovely Elite Ziegelman. So Elite Ziegelman is she.
I'm Christine.
Yes, you are. Lori Towers is me.
There you
and
go.
That's it.
It's magic.
That's it. It's easy enough. It's, the plot is never too thick. It's easy to follow. It translates well into film. And that's it. And we're done. And I believe...
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us. But what we're going to talk, I think John is on. And what I want to set up first before he comes on with us is the transition that we make. This is a tough time of year in a sense. Not tough. I'll say challenging, mm-hmm. because we go into the cozier months. I don't want to say the colder months and scare
with
people.
With more clothes on.
With more clothes on, but oftentimes we're going into an area where there could be the food consumption would probably not be the best.
The holidays are coming
up,
so.
Yeah. And also, we're going to touch base with him, too, because he's a motivational speaker, and he speaks with adolescents and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to college, and for those who are just going back and living on campus for the first time, there's that freshman 15 to worry about.
Right.
If you had poor eating habits in your home when it was governed by your parents, more than likely, when you're on your own and reckless abandon, you're having that pizza at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're
mm-hmm.
studying and you're having the cheese doodles and everything. You know, you wonder how it is for these youngsters to make the transition from, you know, going into being completely independent, but also being responsible, you know, being responsible in an area that really, really does matter, especially if you didn't have good eating habits at home. Holy moly, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
What is going to happen? So we're going to bring on our wonderful friend, hell of a nice guy, John Baistow. Where is he?
John?
Where are you, John?
Hello, ladies.
Hello, how are you?
I am happy to be back. You guys crack me up, and I'm so glad to have you as friends since the last time on the show.
Yes. I feel like I've known you forever now.
It only goes back.
I was just checking. It only goes back to May, believe it or not, and I feel like I've known you all my life.
I know.
You took a
May
to September.
How was your summer, John? How was it?
You know, hustle and grind till you no longer need to be introduced. Keep him busy.
There you go. Those are his words of the day.
I love that.
Yeah, but let me ask you this, too. With all the stuff that was happening in Florida, any of your family, any of your friends, everybody's okay?
Yeah, actually, I do have family in Florida. I have a couple of family members in Florida. You know, and they, you know, one, well, there's one down in the Keys who obviously had to evacuate, and there's one a little bit further up in the Delray Beach area. You know, so it was issues, but there were texts going back and forth, like group texts in the family, you know, make sure everybody was safe and you know, knock on the desk, they are.
Yeah. And you know, it was interesting. There was this new app, and I just heard about it a couple of days ago. Where you could make your phone into a walkie-talkie.
Yes, I saw that also.
That was absolutely brilliant, and it was developed during Harvey.
Yeah.
And obviously these people put it together quick enough,
mm-hmm.
you know, unfortunately capitalizing on something that's tragic, but I think it actually kept people, you know, in contact with loved ones, which had to be, you know, the worst thing being is waiting on the other end and not knowing what's going on, and that's a hell.
But the thing is also, you need electricity to charge up your devices. So sometimes if you have no electricity, it's very hard. And being in such a – Harvey was definitely worse than Irma. I don't know. For some reason, they said Irma was going to be devastating. But there's no cars. All the cars are washed away.
Oh,
so you can't even charge it in a car.
Oh, God.
So how would you charge up your devices? I don't know.
You know, it didn't make sense to me, but I was just, you know, happy to know that it was out there. And, you know, thank God for these, just even cell phones that we have, that back in the day we didn't.
Right.
Phones were down, they were down.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
No, I remember when we had, up here, we had Sandy
a few years
back, which was also devastating. And I was in my place, even which is like a condo building, we were, oddly enough, without electricity for over a week. It was like nine days.
Me too,
And the thing is, I would actually, you have to find, like, places in the area. It's almost like, you know, on the Walking Dead show when you go out on little scavenging trips
I would find
the one restaurant that still had, like, a generator so I could power all my devices
and just sit
at a booth and power up.
Exactly.
And, you know, when things like that happen, you take for granted the little things like getting up,
putting
your iPad on, walking into your bathroom and there's electricity.
Yeah.
It's just you.
How about hot water?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
No, I was, and the thing is, I never take any of those things for granted. I always have an attitude of gratitude because people say to me, they go, oh, well, you know, now you know how much those things are worth and you can really appreciate it. And I'm like, oh, baby, I always appreciate them. I'm always thankful for them. They shouldn't be taken away.
Yeah. You could definitely tell that.
Yeah. Now, John, this is a very challenging time of year.
Yes.
As we, and I use the word challenge because I wanted to say tough, but you know what, just challenge. People going in from warmer weather months where just there's a natural inclination to eating a little bit less, and even if you're not trying to eat in a more healthful manner, it just kind of happens. Now we're going into the cozier months, the comfort food months. How would the average person do this without consequence if they never really thought about their diets much?
I think, honestly, you have to think about what you're doing. I mean, that's the big thing. We talked about last time, you could have the greatest fitness program in the world, but the thing is, if you don't change that switch, flip that switch in your head to make fitness a priority or watching what you're eating or your weight or anything like that a priority, you're never going to do it. You're never going to follow it. So it doesn't matter necessarily how much knowledge you have as much as how much you make it a priority and how much you make it something that you actually want to accomplish. And I think in this case, nature, we're fighting against nature. I mean, let's face it. It all goes back to how we started out as humans. And when winter months came, it was biologically favorable to have a layer of fat because you needed to keep warmer. That's what we're fighting against. Even though we've had the industrial age and we now live in a totally different era where we have heating and homes and stuff like that, our bodies still are responding to environmental cues that they've responded to for eons. So as long as you realize that and you try to not sway too far from what you know you should be doing, and most people are not stupid. They know what they should be doing. Even if they're not super into fitness or they're not super into eating, they know they're not supposed to be eating high-calorie processed crap. They know they're supposed to be eating natural choices. And a lot of times they'll come up to you, and I'm sure you guys as fitness professionals, people say, what should I be eating? And you know that person knows the answer.
Yeah.
You know they know almost exactly what you're going to say, but they have not turned that switch in their head to actually start doing it. So I just say take ownership for it, and you've got to have a greater desire for change than your comfort level with the current situation. If you want to change, you find a way. If you don't, you find an excuse.
And, you know, it's so funny that you said that. I was having a conversation with one of the clients that we have that had one of our trainers that is no longer with them, and the reasons being I don't want to say challenging them too much, but I think more it got to be a little bit more intrusive in psychoanalysis session about why they're eating and kind of guilting them into feeling bad. And her remark was pretty much what you said. Look, I know why the F I eat too much. I don't want to hear. I know what I have to do. So just give me some space and I'm going to do it. So it's very funny that you said that, because her exact word, a little sharper than what I just said, but you get the gist of it. No, that was it.
And I think it's good. I think it's good when you do show tough love as a friend, family member, or personal trainer, anything like that. I don't think it's good to sugarcoat it, because bottom line is, if somebody wants to do something, like I just said, you know, they'll find a way. If they don't want to do something, they're going to make an excuse. It's just human nature. So if they really want to do that, give them the space. And a lot of times those that do want to do it, you'll see them make that change. And the other ones who just want you to shut up, you'll see stay the same. My point is, you can't ever guilt anybody into doing anything. And I don't really care how anybody eats or what anybody looks like if they're not in a medical danger zone. Because there are many people I know that are, by fitness magazine standards, quite overweight, not somebody that's going to be cast in this commercial or that commercial, but they're the happiest people in the world. And I know some people who are freaking perfect looking that are just miserable sons of bitches. So if you're not in a medical danger zone and you found a happiness with yourself, then God bless you and don't listen to anything else anybody is saying. But if you are not happy with how you're looking and how you're feeling for any reason, the bottom line is you have got to make changes.
So agree. And, you know, what we were also thinking about is there is a parent now that just sent their son or daughter off to college and certainly worried about their eating habits. Now, how do you entice someone who's
Sure they had a reason for worrying about
their eating problems beforehand. Yeah, obviously it was something they saw in the house. And how do you entice someone who is so far away into eating sensibly when you're first off to college? If this is your first time away from home, it's got to be the 1 o'clock pizza runs. It's got to be all. I mean, that would not be my first choice of what I would want to do. But that's if you're so inclined, you will. how do you, what would you tell the parent of that child? How do you either create a dialogue around Thanksgiving when they come home, or maybe when you're FaceTiming them? How do you do it?
Give a dialogue to be supportive. Mention to them how you're feeling, and also, you know, that you're there to help with anything that they need, and then leave them alone. Because the bottom line is, you cannot control them when they are away. And if you do push, and if you do try to manipulate, or you do try to be overbearing, they will just resent you and hate you, and you're not going to get your way anyway. You have to know that they're going to have to find out what they're going to do. So say that you're there for support. If they do come home and they're looking different, you know, and take them aside, say how you're feeling, be straight about it, see if it's something that they want to change. A lot of times, you know, there are a lot of pressures that kids face when they go away to college for the first time that they're never expecting. There's no way you can. That's why people gain a lot of times the freshman 15.
Yeah.
Other kids lose a lot of weight because it depends how you react to stress. Some people react by overeating. Some people react by not eating. I personally get sick to my stomach when I'm stressed, so I avoid eating, when I'm, like, focused on something. When the adrenaline's up, I'm not hungry, so I'm the opposite that way. But the thing is, always show that you're there, you're supportive, and you are always a positive force in their life. As soon as you start showing as a parent that you're a negative, a pushy, or a pain-in-the-ass force, you're just going to repel.
Well, see, that's the, you know, and next week's show we're going to go into more gender-specific about female bullying. But I think that most parents that are letting their kids go to college, and, you know, you do worry about the bullying. Bullying is so on the rampage now that, you know, you don't, not that you want your child to look a certain way, but you don't want any excuses to present to make your child a victim of bullying. And obviously, you know, children that are overweight, and, you know, we're pretty much, I think, within the same age of each other. I remember growing up, there was always one morbidly obese kid in the whole school, and maybe there was one overweight child in the class.
Mm-hmm.
And that's turned around to a proportion where it's I would say, 20 in the school, I would say about right, and at least 10 in the classroom.
That just goes to show you how bad the parenting is lately, because
it's
all stemmed from the parenting. It really is.
John, your take on that?
First of all, this is exactly why I say parents have to always be an extremely positive force and something that a child wants to turn to in their lives, because especially when you go to school, there are certain situations. Right now, you face more bullying at home than a lot of people face, when you're normally even living at home, because even when you go to school, you're going to face bullying, but then it's all going to be proliferated on social media that you can't get away from it. Because back in the day, if you were bullied, if you had people hating on you or whatever, you always had a respite. You always had a chance to have a break when you went home, and then you'd have to face it the next day, which was miserable, but not quite as miserable as it is today when you don't get that break, because as soon as it happens at school, you face it there. But then you face it 24/7 by seeing it on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever's happening. And then not only that, but not only the people that saw the incident are talking about it, but everyone is talking about it because they may have taken a picture, they posted it. Everybody that even would have never had any recollection of what was going on knows your business. And when you go to school, a lot of times when you're trying to fit in, some of the worst things you can do is, and you've seen stories about this, is when there are fraternities and sororities that when it goes through hazing, which has gone, you know, very wrong in a lot of cases of, you know, deaths and suicides and things like that. But there are things when they point out bad body parts. There are things when they, you know, circle areas that need to improve during the hazing process, which are meant to be just like, I think, in some distorted way, a bonding procedure or some way to, you know, just make sure you're of a quality to get into the society. And then, of course, everybody becomes brothers and everybody becomes sisters or whatever. But it can leave lasting scars. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think any kid has to know that they are not an island and that they have someplace safe to turn, meaning the parents, meaning the home. And that's exactly why you don't want to be overbearing. You always want to be a positive force, that if anything's happening, they're so trapped and so isolated that the only way out is suicide. And when you ever hear these stories about suicide, that's exactly what they say. They see the friends say, the person was always alone. They had no place to turn to. They always, felt trapped. And to have somebody feel so isolated in a world that's so connected nowadays is shocking, devastating, and something that needs to change.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because, I mean, and exactly what John is saying. I was never bullied at school, and I never did any bullying, but my brother was always a victim of it. And I remember him going back to school the next day, and the same thing would happen, and he would be up the whole night. He was even a sleepwalker at one point. And it's just a horrible thing. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it did stop. At 3 o'clock, it did stop. He came home, and then, of course, you know, the nightmares about the day before. But there was that time off, and you had the weekends off. And now you just...
You're never off.
You're never away from it.
Nope.
You were just too connected to that.
Nope.
That's just, it's just horrible. It's just absolutely horrible.
And that way it is, yeah. That way it is.
And I think that, and that's one thing I always tell kids in particular, this is why exactly you need to have a strong self-image and you need to have what I call internal power. I always say never screw with someone who's not afraid to be alone because you will lose every time.
Mm-hmm.
Because most people who are strong enough to stand, and when I say alone, I'm not saying lonely. I'm talking about a person that is strong enough and has a strong enough self-image that they don't need other people. They want other people in their lives to have friends, but they don't beg for acceptance. Because once you have somebody with that power, nobody can really affect them.
Nope.
Nobody can really affect them because they have a strong enough self-image. They're fine with themselves. They don't have to. There's so many people that stay in bad relationships, bad friendships, get involved with bad people because it's the only alternative to being alone. And they'd rather do anything than be alone with themselves. And that is the saddest situation I've ever seen. And I've seen it in so many people. So that's why anything, self-love, I always say, do you, boo, is my little hashtag because you have got to get your own house in order. You've got to be happy with yourself. And you've always got to treat yourself as number one priority, be your number one cheerleader before you can ever be any good to anybody else. I see so many physical, psychological, and mental messes sometimes going out there trying to help others. I'm like, buddy, get your own house in order first because you're going to be no good to these people.
Right.
They're just they're just reaching out begging for friends. You got to stop begging. The prize never chases. Think of yourself as the prize.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, I love that whole terminology, yeah.
Because, I mean, when you think about it, it always comes back to that. Whatever age you are, you could be in your 50s, you could be in your 60s. It always comes back to being accepted.
Mm-hmm.
It always comes back to sitting at the cool table. It always comes back to wanting somebody to like you. And the truth is, and I remember my mother saying very early on, it's not always going to be the sidewalk is not going to rise to meet your feet.
No.
You're not going to be the prettiest. You're not going to be the smartest. Just be a good person.
Yeah.
That's it. And if somebody doesn't like you, that's going to be their choice. If you give them a reason, then that's your fault. But it's our ego. We're led by our egos and human frailty.
And I think as we get older, though, you know, it's not as important to be accepted as when we were younger, you know, because you wanted to have all those friends, you wanted to go out. You know, as we get older, it's not as important. You pick and choose who you want to be with.
Yeah.
Because you're so busy.
But, you know, John, getting back to your point, because I think it was a fascinating one, I mean, how would a parent, I mean, honestly, I think that if I were a parent, it would disturb me greatly, and there's very good reasons I'm not a parent, it would disturb me greatly if there was something that I could not, if there was a computer in the room that I could not get into, not because I would want to intrude on my child, I would just want to know everything about them to make them healthy and make sure I'm insulating them enough. How do you take a child away from a computer or an iPad or their phone? I mean, they're literally, it's a limb at this point. How would you, I mean, I know I have a couple of friends who are parents that you drop the phone in a basket before you sit down to dinner, which I think is a great thing.
I have business associates that do that.
I think that's great.
Business associates when you're going to have a dinner, like not a business talk, I'm talking about if you're going out with friends, you know, what happens is I have friends that, you know, you put the phone in like the empty bread basket or something like that. And the first person that, you know, can't control themselves enough and has to grab the phone for whatever reason is the one that pays for the meal.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
I love that.
So you know, my hand would fall off before I ever picked up that phone.
But honestly, that's true. I mean, look.
That's a great thing.
If there's an emergency, if your wife is having a baby, then don't be at the event where you are. If you have to be reached, then you should be available. So that's not asking too much. But that's
no. Well, that's
cool.
What I mean. How I do? Well, first of all, I mean, granted, I make a lot of my living on social media, and I, do a lot of things on social media, so I'm very connected. But there are times, and it is a job to me. So there, I'm sort of, I guess, atypical in one way. There are times when I actually, when I'm with friends, all the time with friends, I'll never look at my phone. And it's funny because a lot of my good friends will say, it's so weird, you know, because I hate when I'm with somebody that somebody's looking at the phone, you know, because that's just the height of rudeness in my mind.
I think
so. So my friends always say, it's amazing. You don't even, you're on it like all the time, you know, for business, but you never look at it when you're with people. And that, because some people say, you didn't answer my text. I'm like, yeah, because I was with somebody or whatever. And I don't, look at that as a good break. And I focus on, and I always make the person I'm with 100% priority. The one thing that you, to answer, to build upon your point that you just said, Elite, is that, or I don't know if Lori had said it, is that if there's an emergency going on, if, like, let's say you're waiting for a very important business call, one specific thing, let's say you know somebody's in trouble in your family, let's say somebody may be calling you about something very important, what I say is, oh, by the way, I'm looking forward to doing all this. I may just have to take the phone one thing, or I may have to call somebody at 3 o'clock because this is going on. But I always, like, cite it in advance with the person I'm with to give them the respect of their time, tell them why I'm going to be doing it, and it's always a one-off situation. It's not that, like, there have been friends of mine that are certainly never going to be in the inner circle, that when I'm with, as I'm walking with them, their head is down the entire time, looking at their phones, checking this, checking that.
Yeah.
I really can't stand that. And that's coming from somebody in the social media age. But I hate it with a passion. So if you do that, know that I will never be doing anything with you for fun. Because and a lot of my friends say that I'm really strong with that point and say, oh, well, you know, people have to check them. I'm like, no, they really don't.
No, you
they're
don't
not, there's not something going on that they're solving world peace by looking at their text messages.
That's exactly right,
or
yeah.
that. Or that if Misty doesn't look at her text messages, the world's going to blow up. It's none of that stuff. I mean, she could, if she was away on a trip or somewhere where she didn't have any type of reach of social media, nothing would have happened in that time period.
That's
that
exactly
was
right.
an emergency, I pretty much would bet.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to be that addicted to it. I think the one phrase I always say that holds the most water is that social media is great, but you have, as long as you control it. It cannot control you. When you start losing control and you feel addicted to it and you can't put down the phone and there is nothing major going on by anybody else's standards, that's something you've got to work on yourself.
Well, the kids these days, they live by the phone. They can't be without their phones. You know, we're different. We're more of an adult about it.
Mm-hmm.
But all you see is kids walking around with their head down in their phones. It's very hard
you know
to
what
way
I,
these kids.
You know what I like, though? You know what I like? When I do events, with, other social media influencers and some social media influencers that are kids, the ones that are the most influential and the ones that are the most powerful are not that way.
Mm-hmm.
They do put their phones down at times, and they are not addicted. It's the ones that really don't have that much going on. It's the ones that, I don't know if it's they're looking for hope that something magical happened when they put their phone down for 5 seconds. But the ones that are busy and the ones that are doing things, you know, they have a certain, there's a time that they're on and there's a time that they're not on. And these are the ones that are also the most influential in the business. So I think you can control it at any level. I think the ones that don't control it, are the ones that really should be controlling it the most. Because I know people that are, as I say, millions of followers, and they know how to show proper respect, and they know how to show proper etiquette, and they also say, but I need a break from this thing and turn it off.
Yep. You know, there's an.
And that's all ages. And that's all ages. And that's just showing once again, it's about control.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's an interesting story. Elite knows this story. The story of when I was in the Bronx. Remember that story? Okay. I was promoting a knockout cancer, that boxing mm-hmm. thing in the Bronx. And I had to get there as part of the press. And I know the subways really well, but I didn't know the buses. And the subway only took me it's a Hunts Point, I think, in the Bronx. And the subway only took me a certain point. And I had to walk the rest of the way. So needless to say, I walked through a pretty, pretty, pretty rough area. It was a 97-degree day. I was texting Elite saying, okay, I'm almost there. It was somehow hot.
Very
it was
hot.
Okay. And there were kids in the street playing in hydrants,
mm-hmm.
calling their friends, sitting mm-hmm. on stoops, and talking.
There was a low-income area.
And I said
and
to
they
myself,
didn't have...
there's something that these children are enriched by,
yeah.
that the Park Slope or the Brooklyn Heights equivalent of Hunter and Trevor sitting side by side texting each other on the stoop, They will, I mean, one is enriched, one will never have any financial deficit, but certainly. But these children know what colors each other's eyes are.
Yeah.
They're sitting in front of each other, and they call each other. They call for each other the way we used to.
Yeah.
Just ring the bell and wait, or yell up at the window.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something beautiful in that.
There is.
Agreed. No, I like your phraseology. They know what color each other's eyes are.
Yeah.
I'll use that and give you credit, but that's true. That's but I think that once again, it's not only control, but it's also finding something else that completes you or makes you happy.
Right.
And I think that if people are active, and I think we also breached this a little bit on the last show, but it definitely bears repeating because it's so important. Back in the day before social media, when kids weren't necessarily glued to computers, when kids weren't necessarily just glued to TV 24/7, or they weren't glued to the Game Boy, and Xbox and all this other stuff, I think there was a lot less drug use, a lot less other types of needs for artificial stimulants, because what was happening is they were out, they were running around, even if they weren't in sports, they were still, doing hopscotch, they were still, walking
riding
around
feet,
everywhere, they were still riding bikes, they were doing whatever they needed to do, but they were active. When you do that, endorphins start flowing. It's a biological reality. There's no greater feel-good chemical to make you feel empowered, good, and just up for the rest of the day than when your endorphins get going. If you're stationary or sedentary the entire day, you need artificial stimulations to start feeling good, because I know myself, even if I'm sitting at the computer editing for a few hours, I start feeling miserable.
Mm-hmm.
I could just imagine somebody who didn't have the outlet of working out or getting out there walking or doing something active. And I think that's why so many people turn to artificial stimulants like drugs, like other types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's grown in our culture as social media has grown, because we've become a nation of very, very sedentary, people that
humans
need outside stimulation in order to feel good about ourselves.
So agree. And we do need some true social intercourse. We really need to be with other human beings, be able to, like when you're making a point with your friend, you touch their arm. We need that. As human beings, we need to be able to touch
emotion.
Each other. Yeah.
That's what we need, emotion.
I mean, I think it's wonderful to be able to FaceTime somebody that you're not near, just to see their face and just to talk to them.
Yeah.
But if you have the privilege of being able to get in a car or get on a train or get in a bus and see your friend, go do it.
Yep.
I mean, it's important.
100%. 100%. And I think that goes to the aspect of that even though we are the most socially connected we've ever been, we are the least socially connected we've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
We're socially connected on a, a cyber level, on a digital level, okay? But we are very – and not myself and not people that, don't fall victim to it or get overly addicted to social media and computers and stuff like that. But the large part of society are a nation of shut-ins. I mean, they're socially connected to people once removed, past a barrier, but they're the most socially inept people when they get face-to-face with somebody. I mean, there's some people I know that one of my friends says, I'd almost rather communicate by interpretive dance than speaking to somebody face-to-face.
Wow.
I mean, that's just sad.
Wow.
It's fine, but it's sad, because they
very sad.
You lose
it's
that confidence. And that's also a business person. That's also a person who's in business. And that guy is, like you guys were saying, somebody that you could be in the same, like a cubicle next to each other, okay, to the point that you just have to move your head to see the other person. But he will still be texting, IMing, or DMing the person in the cubicle next to him rather than just saying, hey, Barry, what's up, or something
that's
like
horrible.
That.
That's laziness.
No, I think it's
also,
beyond
no, it's,
that.
It's more, lack of confidence. It's more lack of confidence
so.
And fear, because once you stop seeing people, and especially if you have your own insecurities and you don't have a strong self-image, you don't want to put yourself out there. You want that wall between you and another person. You want that digital wall where you're just, IMing, DMing, or even if you are doing FaceTime, you're still a little bit further removed, as opposed to having take ownership of everything right in front of somebody.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, if you notice, if you ever see young people at a table, and we were all young when you were with adults, you don't want to speak. You just, feel very awkward, especially if you're 14 or 15. But now it's people in their 20s that if they're at a table with adults, they, just have nothing to say.
Because
and
they're
that's
constantly
because
on their device.
they, you know, dialogue, human dialogue doesn't happen as naturally as it did at one point. And that's what's very scary.
It is, and I think it's. I think that actually, you know, if you don't nip it in the bud, and if you don't see it yourself, and once again make that desire to change yourself, that's something that's just getting worse as we get more into the digital age. Because let's face it, social media is only going to grow bigger. It's only going to grow into a more powerful force. I mean, there are business experts predicting that advertising is going to be shifting up to, you know, 70 to 85% of moving from traditional advertising sources like TV, radio, print to social media influencers.
Yeah.
When you see mainstream start putting major bucks into something like that, and
you see
every newscaster on TV giving their Twitter handle, giving their Instagram handle, it's something that's here to stay and only get bigger. When mainstream starts crossing over, it's not something just for new age and something that's going to be a fad. Granted, the platforms may change, but the concept is not going to change.
I'm still thinking about that interpretive dance, that he would rather...
He would rather communicate by interpretive dance than speak face to face with anybody.
My God! But think about this. I would think that dancing would have. I mean, a lot of people that I know of are a little bit more inhibited, and they don't dance.
Right.
So, but this guy.
Well, I think that's part of the point, though.
I think that's part of the point.
I mean. And it's all, I mean, granted, also part of it's for effect because it's hysterical. But, the thing is being able to, you know, form words and carry on a conversation as opposed to doing a prearranged interpretive dance. you don't want to dig too much into it, but having to think on the spot. Wait, let's put it this way. Seriously, how many people, because I don't deal with any business. This is just me now. But I don't make any business decisions. I don't make any long-term commitments. Even if I'm selling something and I'm have to meet somebody to sell an item in a moving sale, I never, make that transaction without speaking to a person voice to voice. I never do it all on text, DM, or anything.
That's a confirmation.
Because I know the crazy will always come out on the phone, and I know I'm a good enough judge of character that I'll be able to spot the crazy, and that's somebody you don't want to do business with, you don't want to meet, or whatever. Now, the thing is, when you talk about that comment that person made, so many people, how many people do you know, when it comes face-to-face, you have to be quick. Somebody asks you a question, you can't wait 15 minutes to text them back. You have to have something real, okay? How many people, when you text somebody, they'll text you back 12 hours later, or even if they text you back 10 hours later, you know they changed that comment. They did delete on a few letters and change that word over and over again.
Yeah.
With face-to-face, you don't have that option. You don't have that editability.
You don't have the time.
That's why the person would rather communicate by interpretive dance than speaking, because you are on the and unfortunately, sometimes the real you is going to sneak through. And if you're uncomfortable with the real you, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
Well, speaking.
Whereas I'm not. I mean, I would rather speak face to face to anybody, and that's why if there's ever a problem with somebody, I don't ever play the telephone game of like, you know how in businesses, like, you have to go to somebody to complain about somebody, and then they say, well, this person complained about you? That's probably why I will never have a 9-to-5 job, because I am as direct as the day is long, and if I have a problem with you, I will walk right up to your face and say it.
That's great.
And if you have a problem with me, I expect you to walk right up to my face and say it, because I know that if I did something wrong by error, I'm going to be the first person that apologizes for it.
Absolutely.
Okay, and I know that if I didn't do something wrong by error, I'm going to be the first person that defends it. And or not even defends, but explains what was the situation. I cannot stand when there is a middleman.
Yep.
And that's why I also, you know, have friends in my inner circle that are very strong-willed people. And other people say, oh, why don't you ever hang out with me? And because you're not a person I want in my inner circle because of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get into drama. I don't get into he said, she said. I only deal with face-to-face.
But
I think that's hard to do. I think a lot of people nowadays don't do that. But once again, the most successful people I know in my world, and even people that I, you know, read up on and everything, do things that same way. They do not, you know, have gatekeepers. Well, they have gatekeepers to prevent people from getting to them. But they do not have middlemen in resolving arguments. They do not talk behind people's backs. You very rarely see somebody who's powerful on social media being extremely petty, unless that person is like a professional troll. And they're getting paid to just make ridiculous comments.
But that's
the few and the far between. The people that you see disseminating hate, whether it be about the election, whether it be about a TV show, whether it be about natural disasters, whatever. The people that you see disseminating hate on Twitter and Facebook, if you click over to their icons, which is often not their face, it's just some generic background or the default icon, because they don't even have the confidence to put their own picture up there.
Nope.
When you click over to them, you will always see that they have the least amount of friends and followers and the least amount of interaction. So what I say to people that are facing hate and facing bullies is I say, take it from where it comes.
That's
obviously,
exactly.
Everybody else in these people's lives are ignoring them for a reason. Do the same. Don't automatically give people the credibility to think that their word means anything. Like, as I've mentioned before, take it from where it comes. If Oprah Winfrey sits me down and says, John, to be a good TV host, you need to do X, Y, and Z, I'm going to sit there with pen and paper.
Oh,
however, if my unemployed uncle, who's sleeping on my mother's couch, comes over and says, John, you should do this to be a successful TV host, I'm going to say, thanks very much, Uncle Dave. See you later, and walk out the door. I leave them fearful and stupid. I don't ever. There's no reason to argue, because
if you argue stupid.
Exactly, because stupid will win. Will beat you by experience every time. It's almost like you don't get down in the mud with pigs, because it's only going to frustrate you and it makes the pig happy.
Right.
So the thing is,
I never heard that one. That's another one. We've got a lot going on here.
No, I leave them, just leave them cheerful and stupid. Smile and say, thanks very much. I really appreciate that advice. And just press the delete key as you're saying those words.
Yep.
You know, but take it from where it comes. And I think that's helped a lot of people I've talked to. When I do, like on my website, I do like these breaking barriers packages where I help, one-on-one things with people overcoming goals or going after things with business. But also, it always comes out about dealing with other people. And I say, don't tell me what I should do until you show me what you can do. So when somebody gives you advice or says something negative about you, make sure to know where that is coming from. Look at that person, see what they're about, what they've done. Those people usually have the shortest resumes and the biggest mouths. Okay, so don't listen to them and don't automatically give them credibility that they do not deserve or any power over your abilities.
Now, and this is you've seen on John's page is his wake up words.
Yeah, of course.
And they're so good. And you know what's great about it? It's a soundbite.
Yeah.
But it's a philosophical soundbite, and that's like perfect.
I think it's wonderful.
It's easy to digest, and you go on with your day.
That's it.
Yeah.
And very motivational, John.
It's funny. I have there's one girl. Thank you, by the way, for that. I appreciate it, because I try to put some effort into them and also make them short enough that even people with a limited attention span are going to enjoy them. But I get some DMs, and there was one that really touched me the other day from one girl who was being bullied, who was facing negative people in her life, and she was like, and her mother actually DM'd me first saying, how much she enjoys Wake Up Words and just thanking me for doing them, because it's changed her outlook on so many things and made her rethink so many things, especially what I just pointed out about don't tell me what I should do until you show me what you can do, and don't let anybody's words have any power over your abilities, and always know you're in control of that. Because she said, she ended up cutting out a lot of negative influences in her life over time, and then she has seen such a positive change in her. And then I got a DM from the girl herself, basically echoing the same thing. And she was cute, because she goes, I noticed you put up your wake-up words like almost at the same time every day around like 7 in the morning Eastern time, and I even know when they're coming up late. So it's just
that's so
which
dear,
makes
though.
Me. And I said, and she goes, and she was like, please don't ever stop, because she goes, I really look forward to them. And there's always something I can use. And sometimes I feel like, the heavens made this one come on a certain day when I actually needed it, because it actually has a use on that particular day. And I'm like, you'd be surprised how many of those like little pithy maxims that I spew out, have such a lasting impact on some people, which is really, that's what motivates
me. You
touch more
people
than you making a difference.
And that's the beauty of
it. I'm sure you touch a lot more people than you think. A lot of people just don't like interact with your, with whatever you put up. But there's a lot of voyeurs up there, and just touching that one, that woman and the mother and the daughter, that was more than enough to know that you touched someone.
Yeah, I like hearing that. It's funny,
but
because
it's the truth, John. It's the total truth.
That motivates me.
Yeah,
that definitely motivates me, that I'm making an impact, because that's the whole idea behind it. Because I think you guys find this true, but I mean, I talk about it a lot. It's very difficult nowadays because of the fact it's great. I mean, as Gary Vaynerchuk, who I like very much in the stuff that he does, and is very empowering. As he often says, you know, it's great because like Instagram and Twitter and YouTube are like the new ABC, NBC, CBS, and everybody has a voice, and we've eliminated the gatekeepers, and you don't have somebody, you know, checking a box of whether you have to be good enough or whether you're not good enough to make it on TV or make it get a radio show, whatever. You can just go out and do it. He goes, you could just put it. He said, you could just post and go to sleep. Is his comment. And I think that that's 100% true, and that's the empowering part of social media.
Yeah.
The disempowering part of social media is that because everybody has a voice, there's a lot more clutter. And cutting through that clutter to actually get your voice heard is super hard. Whereas when there was a gatekeeper, not that this is any better, but if there was, like, you know, between casting directors, agents, studio executives, whatever. When there was a gatekeeper, only those who could get past them. So it was a smaller pool. So like back in the day, I mean, years and years ago, when there were shows like Dallas and Dynasty on, even if you had a guest spot on those shows for two lines, everybody saw your face.
Big thing,
Nowadays, you could be on the most popular show in the world, and 80% of the population or 90% of the population is never going to know you because they were watching something else. Because there's so many outlets for them to be watching. So that's why you have to be able to cross over to all media. You have to be able to, you know, and find your niche. Because once you find your in your niche and you can, you know, make that yours and you become special in some area, you will be surprised at how many other opportunities in this world start coming to you, and you don't have to continue to do the begging. And that's a big thing. But cutting through that clutter is the key.
Right. And, you know, I think the public – we unfortunately – are led by charlatans a lot. There are a lot of people. There are a lot of preachers. There are a lot of philosophers out there.
That's the thing too. It's just, so who do you know is good?
But the whole thing is, the thing about John is he walks the walk.
Yes,
and
he
I
does.
Think for the most
That's
part,
the
people
thing.
Have. I mean, we look at things with the jaundiced eye. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm a skeptic, but I think people could cut through the bullcrap.
Yes.
And you could see who is genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It stands the test of time. After a while, you see certain people falling by the wayside because
they weren't real.
100%.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, but that's why you do it. You do it because you want to. And the beauty of it is,
and because he believes in it.
Right. And because if you only hear five people thanking you, there's probably 500 who haven't,
but still listening to you every
day. Right. Exactly.
I think that that's why it, and a lot of people don't they are they, it, it's almost like in the social media they call them silent stalkers. Stalkers are the ones that just like watch you all the time but never say a word, and that's fine. And even like you know, back in the day with TV, I know studio executives would always say if they got a negative letter or a positive letter. Mm-hmm. You know, about a show back in the day when you had to mail letters or even email letters, they would always multiply that by 1,000. They said for every one that comes, that equals 1,000 that thought the same thing but didn't actually say it. And I think that figure is even exponentially increased when it comes to social media, especially if it's an outside person. If it's not somebody that you already know as a friend or family member and they're commenting, I think you can at least multiply that by 1,000 of other people who may have seen that thing and thought the same thing but just didn't take any action.
Exactly.
Until you see them and they say, oh, you know, I heard you were here and I heard you were there. Oh, I saw this thing on your social.
Yeah.
You know what? Then tell me that you saw it. Tell me if you
like
it. You know, comment on. There's so many people
that
are silent stalkers. A lot of them. Too many.
Agreed.
And those are the ones that scare me.
Agreed. And the thing is, as all of us who put something out and put energy in putting things on social media,
right.
Even people that are not in the media, we want feedback. We want to see interaction.
That.
I mean, I'd almost rather a lot of times, just see like an emoji or something that takes no effort than see nothing, you know,
that's
just a big thing.
Yeah.
Correct.
You know, go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say it also just anytime we're putting forth effort and like making, you know, doing something like posting, trying to change people in a positive way or putting something out that's supposed to be motivating or empowering, that effort on our part, if you get no reaction to it, it's very unmotivating and non-inspiring. And that's what causes people, I think, to quit social media. What causes people to quit social media and to quit like making videos or making posts is when they get no interaction.
Exactly.
So, and a lot of times, you know, if they were actually getting no interaction, that's fine. But just always know that anybody listening to this show, if there is somebody you enjoy on social media, if there is a post you like, just at least click a button. It takes a split second to do it, to show that person, because you could be encouraging or motivating somebody that could be changing other people's lives to keep going, as opposed to when they get no feedback, deciding to quit. And a lot of their other posts and a lot of their other work could have made a lot of positive difference in other people's lives if you had just expressed your positive reaction to it when you saw it. And it takes no effort.
That's exactly right. There's that paper trail that really is. And I think that, you know, people forget that, like, we're all part of something. And, you know, your part affects the next person's part. And we're like we're part of that link of happiness or anger. And we all play a little part in it. And people forget that. You know, how we depend on each other and how we react to each other. John, the last time you were here, you were talking about an app, Astro.
Yes.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. How is that going?
Oh, it's going good. It should be in the App Store soon.
Okay, I was going to say, it's not there yet.
No, it's not, which is – but the thing is, I think – and part of the reason for that, I believe, is that you know how anybody can have a podcast. Yeah. Anybody can have a show on YouTube. Nobody's going to watch. Anybody can put anything up on the web and nobody's going to watch. You have to strategically position it that it's going to be something featured on a platform, for instance, something on the App Store.
Sure.
And that takes, I think, a lot of, you know, meetings and a lot of business connections and something, you know, making it so that it's going to create a big splash when it comes out as opposed to a whimper because it wasn't planned properly. So it doesn't matter how great it is because Astro's amazing and does amazing things and is also improves every single day. But in order to have that machination in place of making sure it's going to be received well on the App Store and also, you know, featured and also known when it comes on, I think is a big thing. I mean, I don't think Instagram or Twitter or any of those things enter the App Store without a big wave of publicity, you know, preceding that. And that all takes a lot of planning. I think a lot more than a company may originally think, because I've seen also, I mean, on a similar scale, I've seen a lot of people come out with podcasts and a lot of very, very talented hosts come out with podcasts and they get no numbers at all.
Oh, I know.
Because they rushed to do a show. They did their part extremely well. But without the promotion, I always say it's like having the most beautiful diamond in a mine in South Africa. Until somebody finds it, it can never be appreciated. It's still the biggest. It's still the most beautiful, but nobody knows about it. So you got to get your name out there, and I think that's exactly what's happening with this app. But I love it, and the thing is, I think it can completely change the way people are viewing nutrition and exercise as something difficult. I don't think anybody really views it as super difficult as much as they view getting themselves to do it as difficult. But having that buddy, and especially for somebody that doesn't have a lot of friends or is disconnected in a way, having this app being a voice and a friend to motivate them to stick with their goals and to actually care about what they're doing each day, I think is a big empowering force.
Thing. Definitely. It's a big thing.
So what, John Busyman, what's going on for your fall? Anything, any public appearances, anything going on that you want to promote?
Working on some things. There'll be some things added to the website. You can always go to johnbaystad.net for upcoming appearances and things like that. Right now, I'm in talks with something for some shows, and we'll see what happens with that.
Nice.
We don't talk about that till it actually comes out.
I hear you.
But that's definitely one direction I want to go in, as long as the deal is really good, and as long as it's something that is going to be a featured and very prominent thing and something that I am not required to do everything for. I like very much working as part of a team, also especially with an established network or an established production company, and me being able to hold up my end but then having them hold up their end that they're experts in. And I think that's a big thing. Everybody says, but you could just start something and you could just – no, I really don't want to. I have no interest in doing that at all. But that's – and I want to focus on what I do and the stuff that I enjoy, because that I think a lot of business people say this, and I think this is 100% true. You can make money. You can have a 9-to-5. You could do whatever you want to do and live a certain lifestyle, but you will never truly be happy. You will never truly be fulfilled, and you will never truly feel inner success until you are doing something that you love. That is the one variable. And that's why so many people nowadays, that even I know people that make a large income that absolutely hate their lives.
Yeah.
They feel like they're sacrificing 5 days a week to escape for two, which is why, which is about living for the weekend. Whereas entrepreneurs you know, don't know from weekends. We don't know from holidays.
Exactly right.
Work is done when work is done, and you could sleep in the middle of the day, but you, because you know you're going to be working from 1 to 6 in the morning. That's just the way it is. But anyway, I have some irons in the fire with that. I'm really excited about the Breaking Barriers packages that I've been doing on johnbaystad.net, because there's a lot of people calling in for the – it's basically phone conversations where helping people achieve goals, whether it be fitness goals or more so – there are some people that I talk with about social media goals, and there are other people that I speak with about overcoming obstacles. A lot of what we talked about with, you know, bullies, haters, trolls, and also not even that so much, but also people that love them and care about them, but doubt them, and they're the naysayers and doubters. And a lot of times your mom and dad who love you can be, you know, the biggest negative influences in your life. By saying, oh, well, you should do that. And a lot of times it's because they're trying to protect you, but by holding you back, I think as opposed to if you have a conversation with them now about, if you confront them now about issues and resolve problems now, you will not resent them and hate them 20 years from now.
Yeah,
and I think that's a big point that a lot
of
people don't realize.
That's exactly right.
Because you got to follow your inner bliss. So that's a big thing.
Very true.
And most people, I mean, and parents have said this for centuries, you'll know when you're a parent. You know, the thing is, everything our parents went through, and obviously they're just human beings doing the best they can with
the situation. There's no
But, you know, again, do they suffocate their children sometimes? Absolutely. Is it done with malice? Probably not.
No.
It probably is just done
to
keep the bullies away from you and keep you safe and happy. And that's, I think, hopefully every parent's intention, but it doesn't always translate that way.
No, I think it's done a lot of times out of a protective nature.
Sure.
I know even with my mom, and I have the best mom in the world. She's amazing. Uh-huh. I mean, I remember when I was in school, she would stay up with me till 1-2 in the morning practicing spelling words because I had a spelling bee the next day.
Uh-huh.
You know, and making sure that I was, because I wanted, it's not that she was pushing me, I wanted to win.
Right.
So she would stay up for hours on end doing it. But then as she was getting me ready, I mean, like second or third grade or fourth grade, whatever it is, and she's helping me put on my coat in the morning. She goes, "Don't worry if you don't win." And I would be like, "What the hell did you stay up with me for?"
Right.
I know.
And she was, once again, she was doing everything she could to be an awesome mom, but she didn't want to put pressure on me.
Right.
But I wanted to have that pressure because I'm like, damn, if I invested this time and I better walk out with a trophy. And I think that's a good attitude to have. Shit, don't worry if you don't win.
She's telling you that she'll love you either way.
Okay, but
I got a better
story than that. And this is not even
that's a good mom. But even as a small child, I realized the juice has to be worth the squeeze. So I went in there with that killer instinct, and I made sure I wanted to spell every one of those words correct and walk out with that trophy.
That's what made you who you are today.
Okay, but you have to listen to my story. This is not about my mother.
Okay.
My mother-in-law, who I love dearly. First, let me preface this. Now, my husband is a musician, and he was senior singer or something, and he had a big drum solo. He's a drummer and an excellent one. My mother-in-law says to him, "Don't drop the stick." And you know what happened?
He dropped the stick
during a solo.
Oh,
and to
God.
This day, my husband is 55 years old.
He still remembers that.
He never forgot that.
Yeah.
And her thing was, like, you know, she didn't know how to say it, and she loves him dearly, and she's a wonderful woman. But that's the first choice that she figured the best thing she could say is arm him well with that. And he dropped the stick. And I remember standing there watching and saying, oh, my God, he dropped it. And that was it.
Well, I'm a big believer in, and this is from another family member who brought this to me, just don't put it out there in the universe.
Right.
You know, don't say,
Once it's out there, it becomes real.
Yeah, don't say, I hope I don't get X, Y, and Z disease. She goes, she would always say when I was in the car, like, cancel. She would leave by saying cancel, that it immediately obliterated whenever she says cancel.
If you said,
oh, I hope there's no traffic, cancel. Because I took it to mean the universe has selective hearing. They don't hear exactly every word. They just pick up on one word. So they go, traffic. Let's give him traffic.
Oh, that's beautiful. John,
so don't
we love
ever,
you. We
don't
we
ever
could
let
have you on every
not.
Week, John. We really could.
You guys crack me up. But just remember, if anybody says anything, you've got to do what Carlene says. Cancel.
I like that. I really like that.
That is the best. John Baystow, we love you. You're just doing wonderful things. And you could see, motivational speaker, he's just of such an intelligent human being, but he's a nice guy and he's funny.
And he's inspirational.
And I love him.
You're just an amazing man. An amazing man.
And we'll have all your information
tomorrow. I will always come back on your
show.
Oh, you're always welcome.
Thank you, ma'am.
Always welcome.
And we'll have all the information for everything that we spoke about today on our page tomorrow.
Awesome.
Thank you, John.
You guys are amazing.
Thank you, John. Have a great day.
Cancel. One more before we go.
Have a great day, John.
Take care, John.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that is great.
Such a great guy.
And he, you know what, he has, I wish he was still on, he has the nicest laugh.
Yeah, he does.
He has the nicest.
Genuine laugh.
But I have to share that story about my mother-in-law. Did I ever tell you that?
No, he never did.
And it was, you know, and John was always a phenomenal drummer.
Yeah.
Always great. You've heard him play.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a big solo that night.
Yeah, she put it out into the universe.
And she did that to him. And, you know, she's a wonderful woman. She comes from an area more of fear and anger, and unfortunately projects it to her kids. But, you know, she just tried to, I don't know what she thought she was doing, but she probably thought she was protecting him. And just, you know what, by her saying don't, he wouldn't. But it was like, I think, a few bars into the soul, and there went that damn stick. Hmm. And like I said, he never forgot that.
How could you?
So it's you know, that's it. But John Baystow was a wonderful man. And, we could talk to him every week.
Oh, for sure.
Every week. He's just that type of guy. And I love the way our subject just morphs into different areas.
Definitely.
And it's just wonderful. And you know, the funny thing is, people have said, yeah, but you know what, you didn't really talk about that. That's the idea of human dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
It could go into different, but just by something I said affected him, which affected you, and it just changes the course of things. And sometimes if you veer back, great. Sometimes if you don't, it's okay.
That's okay.
We're having a nice conversation. Well, first, before we go, I want to mention something. We were talking.
You shut that off, remember?
I did, because we're getting,
take forever to get on. What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the red carpet event. But you know what? I'm going to wait for this to load. We're going to talk about our sponsors.
Okay.
Elite Ziegelman.
Who do we love?
See, now you know. See, I gotta do something a little bit more clever, because you're really too much. Topperson. If there was ever a time for Topperson, it is now the time for Topperson. You know why? That's exactly right. That is exactly right. And we're going into leave raking. We are going into, yes, we are. You left, and this is why. See, I want John on the show when you do
leave
things like
raking.
This, because you are a naysayer. See, you wouldn't be like this in front of John Baystow, but you're like this in front of me.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, but see, I'm the breakfast cereal.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
You won't do this in front of him. You do it in front of me with my swollen mouth. Okay. Could hardly talk, but you didn't have to save the show today, did you?
No, I didn't. Thank God.
Well, anyway, but Topperson is for everything that ails you. We had a ton of people using Topperson all summer long because of the fact that it was a summer where you could get a surfboard injury. You could get you go all out in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
You just throw caution to the wind and you want to get out there and you want to do stuff, and usually you do it wrong. Topperson Junior, Topperson Foot Formula, Topperson Sports Cream, Topperson Regular Topperson,
Burn Cream.
Oh, for the sunburns, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? If you're having trouble finding it in the store, and there's a possibility
Hurricane Cream.
I don't think Lou Paradise would want to.
I'm kidding.
But you know, I'm sure he'd take it out for a second, a little bubble over his head would go up. No, but I mean, in the winter is when you start thinking about the shoveling,
mm-hmm.
the regular, all of that. And
you know, your muscles and your joints get cold,
you know what a good gift is? Topperson has gift baskets around the holidays.
Even better.
And that's if somebody you know is in pain.
Yes.
Wish them a pain-free holiday. Topperson, They love us. We love them. Bruisers love them more. Topperson.com. Go to their website. Mention us. You might get a little something for your trouble. Might not. I don't know. But Topperson, we use it. We use them all the time, and we've loved them for years. And you won't think it's a bad investment. Now, what I want to talk about is April Molloy Peacock was on our show.
Yes.
And she was part of the show. She's Raising the Boss. I don't think it's still on now. She's the Boss. I said she's Raising the Boss.
Yeah, I was like, she wasn't on that.
She's Raising the Boss.
I didn't know we had a show.
No. She's the Boss, and I think it was on reality. I think it was on TV for maybe a couple of episodes at the best. Anyway, she's got a big red carpet event, and it's really wonderful because She's the Boss is not just a tongue-in-cheek phrase or not just a coined phrase. She means this in every aspect of the word. She has a company that is set up to deal with women who have been victims of abuse,
mm-hmm.
victims of not being properly educated. I mean, and abuse comes in varying levels. I mean, you have an abusive spouse, partner, doesn't even have to be a different gender, that just denies you access to things, denies you access to education, denies you access to learning how to write a checkbook, things like that, keeping you in the dark. Oppression is the worst thing that you could do to a human being. And unfortunately, women have been the victim of this for centuries. And so she set up this red carpet event where you get to understand the mission of her business is to get women out of that, get them off welfare, working, get them into the right wardrobe, get them everything they need to be empowered and out there. And it's going to be happening. It's going to be happening this Friday, which is 15th. September 15th. Yeah. And I'll give you the little information on it. And she's been on our show. We'll actually have her on again, possibly after the event.
Hopefully with a better phone.
Yeah, the phone the last time wasn't really good. But it's going to be, for those who are in Manhattan, it is good, even if you're not. It's in New York Hilton. It's in Midtown. It's at 1335 6th Avenue. And it's going to be from 1:30
But it's
to,
not a free event.
It's not a free event.
No.
To 5 o'clock. And what we're going to do tomorrow, we're going to put all the information
mm-hmm.
on our page tomorrow. And you know what? You look at the prices and you start saying, I'm going to do this for that. You know what? All of this is going to help people.
Yeah.
This is going to help
women.
But,
you know, I need help. I can't afford that.
Well, I would pay for your job.
You know what I'm saying.
You know what I'm talking about.
You know what I'm saying.
But
that's not for an everyday person.
Well,
though.
It might not be, but they're, you know, again, the people that would see themselves sponsoring an event like this, this would be right up
right.
their alley.
Well,
and it really is going to a wonderful cause. So really, it's going to be partying, dancing. It's going to be really, really very nice. So if you think this might be something that would be worthwhile for you, the information is going to be on our Facebook page tomorrow, along with the information on John Basedow and all the stuff that he's been up to, which is a lot. And, you know, I think he's up to a lot more, but he just doesn't really speak about it until it's come to fruition. Another friend of the show is Muscle Sport Magazine,
mm-hmm.
and they just came out with a new, who was the artist on that, Elite? The new issue,
Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden.
Right.
And that was the guy.
Band.
No. Who is that guy again? You mentioned it to me the other day. Freddie? No, it's the character that was on the cover. I wasn't a big Iron Maiden fan, but the character on the cover is like kind of their.
Isn't that their like logo?
Yeah, but it's the guy.
I don't
has
know.
A name.
I don't
the
know.
Guy has a name. Anyway, but very, very, very interesting designs. Muscle Sport Magazine. You're not going to get a magazine for $32 a year. I'll tell you that right now. You're not going to. Go to www.musclesport.com or just musclesport.com. That's it. That's all you need to know, and you're done. And we're done.
Yes, we are.
And we would love to thank John. We love you. John Basedow, what a nice, nice, nice man. He will be on. I'd love to have him on every week.
Oh, sure.
But,
you know what? We should have him on a round table.
You know what? He's too busy. He's too busy. I think he's being kind. I don't think he could be on every week. I think he's saying.
Well,
that.
You know what I'm saying,
you know
but
I'm
I think
saying.
He'd be
but
a good addition.
We'll be on. He'll be on more often than not. And I'd love to thank my lovely co-host.
Well, thank you,
the lovely Lee Zielman, for writing Sean Benson. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For making the show a lovely one, and of course the audience. Thank you for listening. Next week, we got a round table.
We're back.
We got a round table for you. And our regular Nancy Donahue will be on. And it's going to be a really good show. And we'll give you a little information on it.
Yeah, as the week comes.
During the week, here and there. But go out, make it a productive day, make it a good day. And we'll see you back here next week. This time, go get them, people.
Boop, 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 boop.
You tell me now.
One, two.